Yeah, it's pretty good.
As well as the road project.
Yeah, it's open now.
So you have a company of your own?
That's right.
Are you a one-man shop type?
I got two other employees right now.
Okay. What's the name of your company?
It's called Becon, B-E-C-O-N.
You can give me a card, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, water and sewer mapping project.
So we got Brad here from Anderson Perry. You remember a year ago, or whatever, sometime, 10 months, 9 months ago, we hired Brad and we added some other things to him. So today he's kind of going to go over the things he did. Number one, I thought to start with, maybe we would do, the first project was a water project. What do we need to do to improve the fire flows in the business park behind Midstate? What's that called? Has it got a name?
Findlay Butte Industrial Park.
Well, that whole thing's, is that different?
Yes. One's industrial, one's business.
Okay.
Right.
So, you know, the area behind Midstate, where it's paved and all that, mm-hmm. When the fire flows weren't quite in that part of town or in that area quite high. So one of our first tasks was, what do we need to do? What would we do to beef that up? And what options? And so,
carry on?
Yeah.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I haven't met most of you, so I'm Brad Baird with Anderson Perry & Associates. In case you don't know about us, we are civil engineering, water, sewer, roads, bridges, surveying, and natural resources firm out of LeGrand. We've been in business since 1975. There's about 75 of us doing projects all over Oregon, but mostly in central and eastern Oregon. We're currently involved in a pretty large project for Prineville, where they're expanding their wastewater treatment disposal system, building some wetlands that we're designing. So we're down here working a fair amount in the area and have started working for Lapine. We appreciate the opportunity. And today I've got the industrial park fire flow analysis, mapping, and then also the Wiki uplift station analysis to go through. And so I'll pass out, since I don't know most of you, I'll just pass some business cards around. But I'll go through these, and if you have any questions, please feel free to interrupt me. No formality to this. This is the PowerPoint. Pass that around. And then the other one that I think we should just pass around right out of the gates is this map. It just tells the whole story. The PowerPoint's up behind here. You can follow along with this. And the PowerPoint is pretty brief. I have here for the city the actual letter with all the information. So this will be for Rick. So all the details are in this, but this is a brief version here. So I have control of this, you said?
Yep.
Awesome.
Good. Is it on?
Oh, I got to turn it on.
It's on the side.
There we go. There we go. So why did the city do this analysis? The city wasn't sure about the currently available fire flows in this industrial park, and you can see there on the map where the industrial park is, and I'll get into some of these details in a minute. But what we did was we completed a water model of your entire water system so we could compare alternatives and the cost of those alternatives to increase fire flows in that industrial park. So you can see this is a slide of the map you have in front of you. I wanted to explain the industrial park real quick. It does have a pointer. Excellent. This is the industrial park right here that I'm circling. And the red pipes are alternatives that we'll talk about shortly. The blue pipes are what's in place. And there's no development out here that I'm aware of yet. And then there's this area that could potentially be developed as well, but that's the industrial park. And so what are the current limitations? And that was one of the concerns that the city had and why we completed this analysis. So just to give you an idea, this is the feeder line from your reservoir that comes down east of town into town. So all your water comes in right here from the tank and then heads on down into town, starts branching out into network. Now, keep in mind, again, the red pipes are options. So you can see that the industrial park has a great looping system here and some of the pipes are 8-inch, 10-inch. It's all fed by this single 8-inch pipe. So no matter what you do out here, you're limited by what that pipe can provide right there. So
because it dead ends, it's not looped, is that
right? Yeah, yeah. All the water out here has to come from that point right there. Hmm. There's no other way for water to get there. So it doesn't matter what kind of pipe network you have, you're limited by that one 8-inch pipe. So the only way to get more fire flows is to get a bigger pipe or loop it. But so you can see it's limited by just that one pipe. So to give you an idea, if we move to the next slide, and this is one I always like to go through, a lot of water systems are designed to keep your flow in the system to about 6 feet per second. Sometimes it gets higher, but if you can keep your flow down to those levels, you minimize your losses. As you start getting too high of flows in your piping, you just lose a lot of pressure. So that's a typical flow value at 6 feet per second. Oops, I'm hitting the wrong button. At 6 feet per second, I've got 6, 8, 10, 12, and 16-inch pipes and what their fire flows will do at that velocity. And the reason this is always a good slide to show in a fire flow analysis is you see you go up from a 16, 8-inch pipe and you significantly increase your fire flows. And this is something that I always try to impress upon cities is always remember. Sometimes cities will want to put in a 6-inch main versus an 8-inch main because they'll save just a little bit of money. But you cut your fire flow significantly down. It's not 2 to 1. It's a factor of 4 when you run through the math for fire flows. So you can see significantly greater fire flows just going from an 8 to a 12 doubles at 6 feet per second. When you think it wouldn't double because it's only 4 inches bigger. But so keep this in mind as we go through these alternatives for piping to make the fire flows increase. Any questions on that? I'd recommend the city, this is off topic, but you know, implement an 8-inch main minimum if you could. You know, there's no reason to put in a 6-inch main. Just keep your fire flows up as best you can. So the next slide, I mentioned this water model, but the way we analyzed this is we entered it into a water model that takes into account all your piping network, its length, the type of pipe for roughness, the elevation of your reservoir, elevation of everything, and then the computer model analyzes available fire flows. And the reason you want to do that system-wide is it takes into account your whole water system. You wouldn't want to evaluate a fire flow at a given point and not worry about what might be happening across town if you cracked a bunch of hydrants here. Because per the Drinking Water Services, which is the regulatory agency for your water system, you have to maintain 20 pounds under all conditions all throughout town. And so you can see if you cracked a bunch of hydrants in one corner, you might make the other end go negative, have a bad situation. So the model looks at the whole water system and will only tell you what flows you can get there, not put any other area of town in jeopardy. So this water model was created and it's in place. And so whatever, if the city ever has any other expansions or any other things to analyze, it's just ready to go. And so that's how we analyzed the available fire flows. I wanted to show you real quick about the alternatives we looked at. We looked at, and if it's easier to look at this map, it's the same thing that's up there. But basically, we have 4 pipe alternatives, and one of them's right there, which would just get you another feed off of your main line into the loop, which would significantly increase your capacity. And then the second one does the same thing over here, but the water would have to come down, come over here, and come back. The reason we looked at some of these other ones is because there's other areas of development. And as an example, if you use that one to get more fire flows, it gets you kind of set up to provide service in this area. Same thing with the third one. Although this is very strange about how it's actually connected. It's off the map. But it gets you a line that comes back in this way and loops and gets you set up for over here too. The fourth option comes in over here. And one of the advantages of this option is it eliminates that dead-end line here. leaking it. This one does too. And so we looked at those four alternatives and ran the model for each one. Yes, sir.
Looking here on Reeves Lane and things, what's the purpose of having a 10-inch pipe in here when it's surrounded with 8-inch pipe?
Yeah, if I had to guess, they were thinking of it being as
your red line. I just think.
Well, yeah, they. Let me make sure I'm right on the same spot you are.
Is he talking this right here, that team?
Yeah, coming into.
But I'm thinking maybe they would look. This is if they were thinking. Well, when you do this, yeah. I don't know.
Where were you talking?
Just south of Reeves Lane.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Coming down into the red line.
Industrial part.
Yeah, so in other words, why have tens there and then eights throughout?
Yeah.
Wasn't some of this heavy industrial versus light industrial? Would that have anything to do with the type of
the notion of
popping in there?
I think the notion of those larger lines in there was four connections later that were, some were supposed to happen and some haven't happened yet, but so that you had a larger pipe to connect to when you brought it in from another area.
I see, and that's part of where I was going. It gets you better set up to distribute water down through if you had a good feeder line there or here.
Yeah, the same thing on Walling Lane, a 10-inch line coming down into where the red line pipe 2 is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, the one coming down on Milk's Way, you got an 8-inch pipe coming off of Finley Butte into a 10-inch back down to an 8.
Correct.
That doesn't make sense.
No.
Well, but if we go to 10s and 12s, some of them will say that 5 years, right? And what it says to me is we shouldn't have done 8s. Well, we're not going to continue making the same mistake if I'm putting the pipe in because of figuring. So, you know what I'm saying? And, and now we're not going to put in 8s. So some of them will say, those idiots, why did they put a 12 in there? Well, because we're putting in a new pipe.
Yeah. Well, the advantage of having the bigger pipes in here, even though you're right about that, that's an 8, but now you're set up to only potentially upgrade that or upgrade that. You know, it's in place in the loop, which is good. It's just who knows why the decisions were made that way. It sets you up to augment fire flows pretty well.
Yeah.
So
see that fire flow with an 8, that was at 900 some gallons a minute.
Yeah.
That isn't. I don't think our fire chief thinks that's enough water for much.
No, at all.
So the reality is, you got all those fire hydrants, but as soon as this is what's going to happen, the business is going to go apply. Then he's going to say, well, you need 1,500 or 1,800 gallons a minute. Well, the system's built, and there it sits at half that. Now, with sprinkler systems and other construction features, they can lower that requirement, but then it ups their construction costs. But then your competitive world, well, they'll say, well, I can go to Primal Matters Rip, and Matters is 12 to 14 inch. There's three, the industrial site Matters has 3,000 gallons a minute at most of our areas.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that's competitive, and so that's why I think we do need to get this up to that 2,000 GPM.
Yeah, and the analysis, there's a couple of good ways to do that. This next table coming around is this table here. It's pretty hard to see there, so I think you'll have to look at the one coming around. But we've got those four different pipe alternatives, and we looked at each one of them individually in the model and looked at them at two different sizes. So this table tells the whole story. So if we could go through this. Before we go through this, what do you have now? Because that's pretty important. So what we did in the model is pick two spots dead center and averaged them. For a hydrant there and a hydrant there. And at the top of this table, at those two hydrants, right now you have about 1,300 gallons a minute there. And you ask yourself, well, that's a little bit more than what an 8-inch pipe will do. Well, it just shows that you were able to go a little bit above 6 feet per second and not injure any or not have any issues somewhere else in town because it is connected to a six, straight from the reservoir. So right now you can get about 1,300 gallons a minute while maintaining pressures. But again, that's not a couple thousand like the fire chief would prefer.
Right, the fire trucks are 1,500 gallons a minute, no problem.
Yeah.
You got a problem now the way this is.
Yeah. And back in the day, I'm older than I look. There used to only be one truck in a town, but nowadays with mutual aid, everybody shows up. So cracking four or five hydrants for a decent-sized fire isn't out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
So you want to have good fire flows. So you have about 1,300 now. So if we go through this table, The best thing to go to is probably the almost to the center where it says percent flow increase over existing. If we take pipe number one, which is the one coming down right here along the tracks, and just backfeed that one, 10-inch or 12-inch option can get you at 1,900, almost to 2,000. So you can up your fire flows about 40 to 45%. It still doesn't quite get you to two, but it gets you almost half again more fire flows. If you take pipe two, which is the one across east to west, coming off of Walling Lane, 10 and 12 inch options didn't get as good as pipe one, and that's probably because it has to come all the way down and loop back. So that one didn't quite do as good. Pipe three, again, same scenario, and I think that's because it's got to come on down into town, kind of back feed around. That one didn't do as well either. Now pipe four did the best of these alternatives. It got you above 2,000. It's 2,000 to 2,100 gallons a minute. That's the one coming down the railroad tracks, and shooting across the tracks there on the east end. And so you can see that of these four alternatives to get looping in here, one and four showed to be the best. And this is a perfect example of how good a water model is, because you can see what you're going to get before you ever decide which one to build. So there's a lot of advantage to doing a water model. So with these alternatives, you can get up to 2,100 gallons a minute with the one over here on the east side. Problem is, it's obviously the longest, one of the longest, and you got to bore under the tracks too. Because we took an estimated cost all the way to the far right two columns of table one. The total estimated cost, and I need to clarify that, that's everything. Includes a 15% contingency. We put in the contingency a little higher because there's unknowns. Put 25% for all the engineering and administration, anything else you can think of. There's a bore under the railroad tracks. So you can see pipe four is in the couple hundred thousand dollar range, whereas pipe one is in the $100,000 to $120,000 range. Far right-hand column kind of gives you a different way of looking at it. Cost for each percent increase in flow, so you can kind of compare on that perspective versus just straight cost.
You got pipe one showing as a railroad or highway bore cost, but on the map it's running parallel.
It has to cross the road.
Right on the chart here, it has number one, and you go down there, it says it's $30,000 for estimated railway and highway bore cost.
Yeah, the key there is and or. There's a road boring right there.
Okay.
And then down here is the railroad boring.
You got to cross Finley Butte. Yeah.
You got to cross Finley Butte to get to the pipe.
Okay.
But you bring up a good point that I forgot to discuss. If they'll let you open trench that, of course, that'd be way cheaper.
Right.
Yeah. We always assume the worst in cost estimates, and then you can look like a hero when it's cheaper.
Mm. Well, yeah. Utility cuts usually leave a bump in the road.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're right. And sometimes they prefer or won't let you.
Correct.
So we assume the more, but basically, to get to a couple hundred, or to get to 2,000 plus, pipe four is the best option.
That's actually shorter because it has a bend in it.
Say again, I'm sorry.
Four was actually shorter because it has a bend in it, as we were told.
Yeah. I need to fix my mouth. Yeah.
Should be half as long. Though.
You're gonna hear about you can't see this one, see? It's on the ground.
Sorry.
Do we believe everything we hear?
And so we also looked, though, and I'll show you this, but I didn't like how it turned out. But I'll show it to you anyway. We looked at combining different options if you wanted to do two pipes. That table's coming around to try to look at. That's table two. Since we had all this in the model, it became very simple just to run it, putting two in. And so we looked at options here. This table two coming around will be the one that that gets you significantly, well, not significantly higher, but it gets you up there a ways. Because if you're going to undergo a piping improvements project, sometimes it's better to do more than less to get a cost-benefit thing going. But if you look here on this table two, the first one has number one and two combined, and it didn't get you, you know, very much more fire flows. One and three combined does get you over 2,000. One and four combined gets you almost to 2,500 gallons a minute, 2,425. Two and four, a little bit less, and then three and four, 2,300, 2,400. One and four are your best if you're going to do a combination. You can go back to the map. One and four is your best combination for getting the amount of flow. That is the best one.
Yeah.
It gets you almost to 2,500 gallons a minute. Problem is, it's you got to ask yourself if it's, let's say it's $300,000 for 2,400 gallons a minute, and then you go back and look at $200,000 for 2,100. Is it really worth another 100 to get 300 gallons more? That question can really only be answered if that gives you value, of which I'm not.
You've got rubber tracks on one side, you've got stay on the other, so you don't have any, no one else is going to use it.
No. So I didn't like how that turned out. I thought it'd be more definitive.
If you did four and two, you get some
right
down the road, but what's that?
I think the thing, if you're going to improve the fire flows, and this would be my recommendation, of course you can do whatever you want, but four definitely gives you the best fire flow for just one pipe. And then later you could add these two or three as development occurs and even help your fire flows more. I don't know that one gains you much. It gains you a little bit, but not for the expense. I think two is your best, I'm sorry, four is your best option.
It opens up that other land too.
It does, and I'm not sure about development. It definitely has.
That's wood right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a big wood yard.
If it has potential for development,
a little bit.
Yeah.
It really sets you up for that. I don't know that you have much potential here.
Not with the railroad track, because the fire, but first of all, that fire department will not count a water source across the railroad track. So,
you
doesn't matter what flow you had over there. You can't run a hose across it. They don't count it.
Yeah, so
we're talking about continuation of 10-inch, not 12-inch.
Oh, yeah, you could go either way. If it was me, the design's the same cost. It's just a little bit more pipe. I would try to go a bigger pipe if you could. Always try to go a bigger pipe if it makes sense.
With that kind of expense you're already into it, you might as well go with a bigger pipe.
Yeah, and the difference in costs here would. It's basically $25,000 in the competitive bidding environment. I mean, that's within the error of these estimates, so it's hard to know what it could actually come up at. It might be cheaper. But the conclusions, and this is all in this letter, this back to the figure, to wrap it up, the best one in peers money-wise, definitely be pipe four. It looks like you could get that done for $170,000 to $200,000. That's all inclusive, conservative cost estimate. And it also opens up all that area for expansion and then get your fire flows in the industrial park above 2,000. So that's it.
Okay.
Any questions on the industrial part?
Wait a minute, if you put a 12-inch in number four, you're still coming off a 10-inch. Would that really have that much to difference? You slip them off, you suck it off a 10-inch if you're using a fire going into a 12.
Yeah.
Then back into a 10. We're doing the same thing as the other one, we're 8 to 10 to 8.
Right.
Yeah. So wouldn't it be better just to put a 10-inch in all the way?
Yeah, the model shows, it doesn't get you much. If you look at that, it only gets you...
You get 93 gallons a minute.
Yeah, 100,
if you go to 12.
Yeah. It's not a lot.
The biggest thing is to get over 2,000 for the fire truck.
Yeah. And you can do that with a 10. Yeah. And keep in mind, that might be a good decision to make to save that little bit of money. Plus, you're going to eventually put two in. pipe two is going to happen someday. And when pipe two happens, coupled with a 10-inch and pipe four, I'm going to laser your head here if I'm not careful.
That's all right, man.
You know, if you did pipe four as a 10 and then pipe two, eventually you'll even help yourself get above 2,000 even more, because you can make it with the 10-inch
The thing is, though, that as you start going other directions with it and everything, that's all for 25 grand, I would say, what happens when that area down by pipe four, which isn't nothing there much now, what happens if it, you know, again, these pipes are here for 50-100 years. Yeah. So that would be, for 25 grand, is it worth?
Well, the whole thing is you're still coming off a 10-inch pipe.
But it may come over someday and go, see, that's
well, the problem. Well, I meant the main. The main is a 10-inch pipe.
But BioGreen, as an example, was running a second main in.
Yeah.
See, so when we come off our pumps and our wells and our Abuta new top, see, again, this is decades of, that's the hard thing. Is
right.
You know, you're right, when we get a second 12-inch main coming in, and now you got 24 inches out there, or whatever.
And keep in mind, too, you can backfeed, if this is eventually backfed from the west, it's fed by more than just a single 10. These little short, little single 10s, they just, velocity picks up if you have a big flow out here and you have a little bit of pressure loss, but it can handle it. Another way to look at this is a lot of times we'll bid these with both sides as options. And the reason I say that is 12-inch pipe is way more common than 10. Mm-hmm. You know, 6, 8, and 12 are very common pipe sizes. So sometimes for a short project, you can actually get a 12 for the price of a 10. It just depends on the bidding environment, supply.
What about the issue I think we talked about once is the freshness of the water. What happens when you have, that's one thing, you have an industrial park that has nothing in it. You start bringing in, if you bring in and this water gets stagnant in there, what is that a problem? Or?
Yeah, and we talked about that briefly in this letter. One of the things we recommend Scott do periodically, and I think we said twice a year in here or as needed, is to go out there and pop some hydrants and flush some water, run some math on how much water's in that, go to a corner of it and run it long enough to replace the water. It's just a good idea because you can get stagnant water can have an environment where bacteria can start to regrow out in the water system. So it's good to flush it periodically. And it's all depending on your condition. Arlington is an example. We do all their engineering and they fight all kinds of weird constituents in their water. There are some mains that they flush monthly, even with people on them. And so then there's other cities that never have to ever. So it just depends on your quality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we flush that twice a year as we're doing our hydrant maintenance.
Perfect.
Wouldn't it behoove to put a fire hydrant in that number four someplace?
Yeah,
we open it up and flush it out.
Yeah, we would. There's
it's not shown on here, but
right.
That way you can flush that whole section out.
Yeah, these would have valves and
when you flush, how long do you flush?
Just long enough to get it evacuated. What I usually recommend you do, you run the math on how much water's in here, and just pop a hydrant and run it long enough to force enough water through this to get it all replaced. Now the problem with only doing it from one hydrant is maybe the water prefers a path this way and this kind of stays. It should flush it, but it'd be a good idea to go to two corners and let it rip and flush it good. But just long enough to get it all evacuated, at least once.
What's the likelihood of going to north end of pipe four and redoing up Russell Road to that 16-inch line?
Redoing that 10-inch?
Yeah.
I mean,
is there an advantage to running 12 up to the 16-inch? And then
we could run the model. It would definitely give you a little bit more fire flow, but I don't know if it'd be worth it for us. Probably PVC, and you know, it's there and it's got decades of life left. And, you know, I think it'd be better eventually. And I don't know what your long-term plans completely are, but it'd be a good option to just leave it and get another one in sometime, and you'd probably achieve the same increase and not have to replace good pipe.
Good, thank you.
Yeah.
One of the advantages of 1N4, you don't have to tear up a lot of asphalt roads. It's all out of dirt. So that'd be a good advantage.
Yeah.
The only one would be number one, which is that crushman and Newton. You'd have to bore that. And then the railroad track, I mean, they're not going to notice a bump.
Yeah. That's a given bore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot and a long process to do it.
Yeah.
Of course, you have to talk to Burlington Northern too, right? You're wondering.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a permitting process. Yeah, I'm sure. We've done several of them. The key there is finding the right person to talk to. If you get in there with the right person, you can get it through pretty quick.
The railroads.
UPRR is the hardest. The rest of them are a little better from our experience.
Well, let's move on to our other...
Any questions on that one?
No. Very good.
I mean, our plan is that right now, you know, we're not going to go add that. Two or three years, you know, one of the things we got to be careful. There's that's been back there for many years. There's not a customer yet. So, you know, if we get a live one that really needs it and they're going to actually build, you know, we can then work with them. And if they need, maybe they pay for part of it and you do some stuff. I don't see, we're already providing enough to get started in the discussion with a company. I don't know that we're going to go spend $200,000 just to sit out there, you know, and wing it a prayer. But we now have information, so when a company comes, we can say, well, if you need this flow, we know it's going to be $200,000 to give you this, it's $150,000 to give you that.
Yeah, and if they need even more, it'd be very simple to run the model since it's all in place now. Okay, what do we got to do to get to 3,000 if they ask for it? Your 16-inch line from the reservoir, they'll do about 3,500 to 3,800 gallons a minute, so that's about the peak.
$200,000 permit, take care of it.
And then again, if you did have to, if you end up doing some work on Wikiup, you know, water and sewer service and things of that nature, you could add this in.
Right.
You know, while we have a contractor in town doing a lot of work, something to think about later too. Well, the next one's Wikiup, and I have another. Let's pass this figure out real quick too.
Excuse me. Yeah.
The other analysis we did for the city was looking at the Wikiup lift station. And why did we do this one? I could let Scott tell us what's wrong here, but the current lift station just has some concerns. It's wears out pumps quite regularly and it's working awfully hard. There's all the talk of areas to add to the system on the north end. So we looked at the whole thing, what it would take to just analyze fixing the Wikiup lift station, or would it be worth it to make it of a size and capacity to where it's ready to serve future areas as well. And then compare all that so you can make your best decision on how to proceed. So you can see this map that you have here. And what we did is we shaded some of these areas. Right now the blue area is the existing area that's served by Wikiup. Now you can see the Kegel area, and we included that area across Huntington Road in that. But there's an area that could be added to Wikiup. Naturally that's where it would make sense that it would go to. And I believe that Kegel area from Huntington Road East is in city limits, whereas the other one is not in city limits?
Correct.
Okay. And then we have this, what I just called West area, that could also be added to the system. And these are ones that could immediately be added. What I mean by that is, you know, there's development there. Whereas you can see all these other areas, you know, you got this, and there's a lot that could end up here, but these are the areas that could reasonably end up here in the relatively near future, if that's a safe way of saying it. And so, moving on to the next slide, what's going on with the Wikiup lift station? Well, it has single phase power, and I don't know if many of you have power experience, but you know, single phase power limits you in terms of horsepower and how much you can handle. Generally, you can, you know, get up to 5 horse. You can sometimes get a little higher, but once you get too much higher, you really need 3 phase power to be efficient. So it only has single phase power. The pumps that are in there are working pretty much maxed out in terms of what their design curve is for how much they have to pump and how far. And we'll talk a little bit about this, but there's 2.3 miles of force main that they have to pump against pressure sewer. So you really don't have any ability to add anybody new because they're working at their limit. The pumps are also very inefficient, and they're not, I guess I should caveat that, they're inefficient because they're wastewater pumps. They're grinders that are handled, or are meant to handle solids, whereas there aren't any solids in the waste because of the way the system's set up. So they're inefficient, and they don't really need to be those types of pumps. They don't have to have solids capabilities because, as you know, your wastewater's just septic tank effluent gravity, so the liquid. So to give you a little, I want to talk a little bit about your pressure sewer. There's a 4-inch pressure sewer that goes from the Wikiup lift station all the way to the lagoons. It's 2.3 miles long. That's a long pressure sewer. And you can imagine when you start flowing water, have losses, pressures required to move it that far, go up. Currently, if you added all these people on here, that force main's pressure, I keep saying force main, but pressure sewer, they're the same thing. The pressure sewer is really too small to add all those people with this type of pump, but we figured out, as I'll talk here in a minute, how you can do it and keep your force main, which would save you lots of money. So we looked at an alternative pump type, and I'll get into that next, that you might consider. This is a little sketch that the engineer in our office drew, and it'll take a little bit to explain this, but this is your wet well, and currently the sewer comes in and dumps in, and right now you have pumps that they're on rails and they slide down in here and they sit down here, and water minimum fills up to there, turns the pumps on, goes back down, so they cycle, and this is what we're proposing, so ignore that for now. So the pumps sit in here and they're on rails, so anytime Scott has to do anything with them, they're
icky.
There's lack of a better way of saying, and they're down there in the you-know-what. Wastewater projects are always tough to talk about. they're down here, and it's an issue for Scott. And this is, there's lift stations all over the world like this, so this isn't a bad thing. It's just they're designed to handle solids. You know, they're grinder pumps, and they don't have solids to deal with. All of the organics and inorganics in your wastewater stay in the septic tanks. So they're really all you have is liquids. So an alternative we came up with is to do this type of a thing you see off to the side. This is no different than how a well pump works. You pipe this over to a chamber and you put in a line shaft or a turbine, vertical turbine pump, and then you head on out to the force main. Now what this gives you, this is a type of a setup for a clean water pump, but they have these are your pump holes, this is your motor, and they have a way to have the right seals and everything in here that'll handle wastewater, but yet just liquid wastewater. Now, what this gives you, and this is important for everybody to understand, what this gives you as an alternative is these types of pumps are way more efficient than the grinder pumps. And to give you an idea of efficiency, your grinder pumps are in the high 30s to 40% efficient. And these pumps are almost 80% efficient. And what that means is they'll operate way more efficient, save you lots of electricity. They also have much higher pressure capabilities. And that's really the crux here, is you cannot get a grinder pump of the right flow and pressure to add all these people and use that 4-inch force main. And there's other types of pumps out there, but looking at all the different submersible pumps that go in a wet well, we could not find a good fit for the flow you're going to experience if you add everybody coupled with the force main you have. So by going to an alternative like this, it allows you to keep your pressure sewer and not have to upgrade it, even with all these people to add.
So if you're saying, if Cagle came on and these other folks here, we would not have to add a line from Wikiup into our plant.
Right.
That's a huge dollar deal.
Are you sure that's going to be able to handle all the pressure?
Yeah. Yeah, we did all the analysis and the math.
So then when they did their master plan update, where they looked at this, do you know, did you remember how they looked at that? Because I was thinking of the cost estimates. Were they adding a line, Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah, all of the master capital facilities plan included adding a larger line from the lagoon, at least part way back to the Wiki uplift station, with the notion that a larger pipe reduces the head pressure and then the existing pumps would work in there. There was never a notion of adding one of these turbine pumps in there.
Does it make sense to you?
Makes very much sense.
It's less expensive. Now, I do have to mention, though, too.
Oh, here comes the follow-up.
You know, if you added everybody that's in the colored areas plus all the other areas, then you would eventually get to the point that you had to upsize your force main. But if you look at this, is that going to happen in 20 or 30 years? You know, it's
as far as this area,
yeah, all
these phases here are 20, 30, 40. That's so the rest of our next 10, 20 years will be down by Crescent Creek, which is over here more. You're not going to be running it out to there.
Right.
And that's going to be, now you may have to do something
right, you know, farther up.
Yeah.
And that's the qualifier. If somehow you went from 1,800 to 30,000 people or something, yeah, it you might have to replace your pressure sewer at that time, but I just don't see over the next 15 or 20 years of doing that. But that's more something you folks would be more qualified to answer than me.
What did you estimate that line cost? Is it $1 million? And if we added the second one,
we have a cost estimate in here, but I didn't put it in the PowerPoint.
It was a bunch.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's got a bit.
Yeah. But this is a fairly inexpensive alternative to get you this, add all these people and not replace your pressure sewer. Let's talk about equivalent dwelling units real quick, and this is something that's important to understand. The current Wiki Up area, and does everybody know what an equivalent dwelling unit is?
Let's just assume that they don't.
Okay.
Whether to make them raise their hand.
Well, everybody throws around EDUs and it's hard to know. But that's the typical flow. Equivalent dwelling unit is the wastewater flow from a typical residence, and usually an EDU is established per community, because every community is a little bit different. So current WikiUp area, if you count all the potential users, and Scott helped us, and we did all kinds of flow analysis to come up with this number, but you currently have 95 EDUs you can serve in the blue. So the yellow could add 239, which is, you know, more than twice again. Now, I got a caveat that too. That's pretty conservative, because those are big lots that could be subdivided, as I understand it. But that probably wouldn't happen much, but we have to look at it to some degree in case it does. You want to have your infrastructure.
But these EDUs are not figured dividing these at all.
It is, some of them.
Oh.
Yeah. Just so you're not totally. Yeah,
it's probably not going to happen, but that's okay that
the main thing that we want to worry about is, you know, if you can take a 1 acre lot and make 8 units on it, you can really cause this thing to go bananas.
Now, we only figured it cutting an acre lot in half
to
where you turn 1 to 2, but and I'll check that.
Yeah, but high density California style is 8 lots per acre.
Yeah, and I don't.
That's what they're doing down in Portland. Huh?
I would hope that your code, you guys would control that.
I would hope so. Just saying.
The plan right now. The plan right now is to not allow partialization.
Yeah, and that'd be great because
of roads and everything else, just all kinds of stuff.
So the area west of the school, which is the pink area, 86. So it gets you to 420. So right now you're roughly at 100. So it's 4 times. You know, counting everybody, 4 times what it handles now. And based on the analysis we've completed in here with that prior setup I showed you, this type of a setup can handle 400 EDUs with your current force main, and pressures aren't excessive.
And the current wet well size.
Yeah, and the current wet well size.
Would they take the grinders out of the wet well?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would just be a well, and you'd have your turbine pump. Okay.
Yeah, over here, and then modify the on-off range a little bit, and it worked just fine.
And this work could be done while the other's in line.
Yeah. Yeah, this all happens outside of it.
Disruption of service.
You will have to core through here, which you have to shut her down for that, but that's pretty short.
Right.
And that's one of the advantages of this type of a deal is that's always a problem when you're fixing lift stations is, you know, the you-know-what never stops. So you have to deal with it while you're constructing, for sure.
So now, we don't have any trouble with any solids getting through there now, do we?
We really don't. In fact, or grease with the septic tank system that we have, it keeps most...
You've got a grease problem.
It keeps it out of the collection system. When you have a standard gravity sewer system, you're fighting grease in a wet well like that. If that was a conventional system, we'd be in there at least once a month cleaning grease out of that thing, and we've hosed it out once or twice in 8 years.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, that's the only thing with it. If you're trying to put a turbine into some place that's getting clogged every month, you're got a problem.
And you're exactly right. Something we talked about in our analysis was putting a screen down here, just in case something gets in there. Not too fine, but Scott would have the ability to let the water down and hose that from the top.
Considering some of the critters around here, I can see them just digging right in and drowning.
Yeah, you never know. I've seen some amazing things in sewer systems.
We're talking just the city, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not city.
Oh, I'm sorry. We added that only because, who were we talking to?
EQ.
Yeah.
They may have us provide them services.
Yeah, currently it's not inside the city, but they get...
So he figured that out from the analysis.
Yeah, I talked quite a bit.
EPA says it will.
Yeah. I talked quite a bit with Eric Nigg about this and just, you know, added that little area of what if.
No, that's pretty good. And whether it doesn't affect the cost whether you take it out.
We're talking the blue area?
Pretty small.
No, the only yellow one on the left.
Yellow
over right here.
That's right.
The other side of Huntington.
Yeah, there you go.
It would require a change in Oregon law, but we're talking about that.
Yeah, we talked about that at the last meeting.
This next slide is this table. This is the summary of the whole thing. And this is what's nice about the costs. We had three alternatives to look at. Alternative one involves getting a three-phase power in. Well, I got to get this right because this part confused me. Okay, let's go to alternative two. I apologize. Alternative two is exactly what that sketch showed, where you build the turbine, vertical turbine, the can apparatus next to the lift station, eliminate the submersibles, and you can do all that for a total estimated cost of around $200,000. That would get the WikiUp lift station set up to serve everybody, who you are now and who you could, and keep your existing force main, so you didn't have to replace a force main. Now the advantage of that, alternative two, is that pump, there's no reason why those pumps, those vertical turbines, you know, they'll last 15, 20, 25 years. I've seen them last even more than that in a clean water environment, whereas Scott, you're having to replace those pumps quite regularly.
Correct.
Those grinders are running at their ragged edge of the curve. And they don't typically last that long due to their nature because they're built to handle solids. And so you're going to save a lot of money over the long haul if you go that route for not having to replace those pumps. And that cost there will keep you at single phase. Alternative one is doing the same thing but only going triple phase and replacing the force main as well, which would get you way past all that area and get you set up for a bold thing someday. But that's doesn't need to be done at this time, but we put it in there just to give you an idea of what it would take if you did replace a force main. And it's less than a million, but...
Now under this, can you, if you did two, can you then do three? Is that...
Yes.
And then, or parts of it? In other words, you spend 200, you go to 300. Do I add these together to 500?
No.
If I did the 190 and I call it 200, and then I needed to, say, kick it up another 100 EDUs plus, is there something I could do?
Yes. And that's a good point, because alternative three is basically alternative two, but going to three phase and making the pump a little bigger. And that gets you another
140
EDUs. And the reason we did that analysis was to show that, now, what we would do, or let me go back to the drawing. If we did this, if you elected to do this, you would size this can and piping to be able to handle alternative three. And then if the time came that you even had to do more than 420, it would be a simple thing to change this out to a little bit bigger pump and get the three-phase power over there and change out the controls. Yeah. And then this whole thing still works for even more EDUs. And that way you take advantage of the infrastructure you already built. And this way, by doing alternative two, I really think unless some growth occurs beyond all this color area, that you'd be set up for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. It all depends on growth, as you know, and how that happens. But
so you can increase that vertical turbine and still not have to do any line replacement.
Right. Yep.
It's amazing.
And the only reason that is those vertical turbines will handle much higher pressure, and the force main, it can handle it based on the pipe type.
The 4-inch force main that's coming in is underutilized. I mean, that's not it doesn't bunch this evidently.
Well, it's let me back up. It's for the type. It all has to do with the type of pump selected. That's the key. If you try to use those any more inefficient wastewater pumps, if this was a standard wastewater system where you had to handle solids and had to pump ground solids, you'd have to upsize the force main because the pressures get too high for the type of grinder pumps you can get to pump it. The key to making this work is using a type of pump that isn't a typical wastewater pump. And it can handle the higher heads and make it can take the higher flows the distance. And the force main can handle it, pressure rate for that easily. Checked all that. And so the reason I was pretty excited about this when we came up with this, because it saves you having to replace that force main. That PVC will last a long time. And
this would be a dual pump system.
Oh, yeah. Very good point.
Flushable.
There's two of them, because DEQ makes you have redundancy because they want you in case something happens. So there'd be another one right next to it. This only shows one.
This cost is 0 for 2?
Yeah.
$200,000, that's pretty.
That's cheap.
Now that sets you up for all of it.
It's unbelievable.
But again, that's not the water and sewer for out there and waking up and all that. But
so even though you have a dual pump system, you only use them one at a time?
No, usually you
cycle back and forth.
Yeah, and that way you don't wear one out.
Okay.
It gives you some redundancy. DEQ is pretty tight on backup power and redundancy. And
are those type of pumps back flushable? Or will that spin the bowls off? Or,
oh, no. I think they are. But I'm not totally sure, but I think they are. Yeah.
So, Scott, do you think, is this something that, you know, unlike the other one, was, you know, we don't have, is this something, we're having trouble with the pumps out there and all that, is this a project in the next year that we would, if we're going to go do 20 or 40 grand worth of repairs and you're only going to spend 200, you go ahead and do this, it just so it's there and in place, so our system's running, is that?
I think it'd be a really good
project.
2-year plan at least.
Okay.
When they built that wet well, they went cheap and opted for galvanized rails as opposed to stainless steel. And I doubt those galvanized rails have 5 years left.
Okay.
So work would need to be occurring in there.
What do you think about that?
Well, one thing you can consider, and don't take this as a sales job, please. But you know the actual design of it is 10% of the cost, if that. And so your design could start right away or anytime soon, and you could be still working on it, moving ahead, and then you could build it whenever you had found a couple $100,000 to fund it with. But it doesn't take a lot to get the design moving and keep progress going, because that takes a little time. You got to run
if,
that by
if we're going to get into the, if we also though are going to be updating or looking at serving Kegel.
Okay.
Do you wait then?
Yeah.
Because you know, what do we want to design something, and then the next engineer, he doesn't do sewers, but. But anyway, but he comes along and says, you know, Brad, you know, it's like anything, you know, he needs his brain examined. That won't work. So nope, we need to go add that pipe in, and it's $1 million, and you just spent $200,000, and it's useless. So we got to be a little careful, to, you know, how.
Yeah, and what that you brought up a good point, because I wanted to mention this. If you think Kegel is imminent, and that's the last thing I want to talk about, how imminent do you think Kegel is in terms of DEQ's talking to you? Do you really think it's going to be added in the near future?
How near
less
is near?
Less than 5 years.
Say 5 years.
5 years.
Yeah, less than 5 years. Yeah.
That's the most.
In the
5 to 10.
Because part of my thought process was, is it makes sense to do this one to bring it all in. Only because it's you always get a better bang for your buck on size of projects, but making them as big as possible. If you're going to do it, just add stuff in, and then you get all prices on everything comes down. But that said, I don't know if you can get 5 years out of this as is. And so everything you did here would be ready for Kegel anyway.
We would not have lines in the ground in 2 years. For sure. No way.
Right.
I mean, it'd be more 4 years. And so if you're saying, you know, we don't know how many years we have.
It's so you might want to do that now because it's an ongoing issue. I mean, in 3 or 4 years.
How long before we have to replace those pumps?
Could be tomorrow.
I mean, we have to replace
the rails for
regularly.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah, well, I think we'll have pumps rebuilt at least once a year in there.
I think that's right now, this is a good plan to start on. But just make sure it's large enough to accommodate Kegel and any other thing.
Yeah.
But we got to do something. Because this, what we have now is garbage. Literally crap.
Right, so unfortunately, because it's not working well.
Right, yeah, they use the wrong pumps, the wrong size pipe for the pumps they're using. Yeah. It's a mess. It's got to be done.
Yeah. And this allows you to still utilize, part of the cost is to rehab that enough to make sure it's still good. Mm-hmm. Still use the existing lift station.
Have you the vessel, have you done this? I mean, have you ever used this type of the solution here?
These are used a lot, but not totally in this type of a setup. But that's a very common pump system. Those that's called a canned pump. I mean, all it is a well pump in a steel can.
Why would our other engineer, if they were updating, unless this is new technology, he just maybe look at that, maybe because everyone just, you know, we all have our own style and our own. He was probably looking
most
at the
likely
traditional system because he built it out.
Yeah.
So his brain is taking you down the grinder pump and the, and so because he engineered all the rest of it. So you just keep on that path. Is that?
I would guess.
And another thing on that note to mention is that this assumes you're going to stay with these gravity. You know, if you ever went full blown, this is not the way to go.
Afford to,
but that would be a whole different replacement of your tire collection system. And so I imagine you'll stay with the stick.
Well, because once you get Kegel and a couple of, we're built out.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, I mean, in other words, other than new subdivisions over time. But the city, we have a 50, 60 year land supply. So the river growth boundary is never going off anywhere else, you know, because of that.
For a long time.
So we're talking literally 50 years. So
Kegel is a hot spot.
Yeah, once you're done Kegel and all that, we're pretty.
Yeah.
Something else, if I don't know what's all on your agenda, but I wanted to mention about Kegel too, of your DEQ put pressure on you to add that. I looked at this study briefly that had some analysis in there, and I've got to look at it closer, but they had 10 and 12 inch sewer lines out in there. Do you remember seeing that?
Yeah.
And I wasn't totally sure why they were so big, but maybe it was grade. But I think it would behoove you to get, you can get a $20,000 technical assistance grant from the Infrastructure Finance Authority and figure out what it'd take to get this area in. And that would include water and sewer. Rely on this to some degree because you spent money getting a study done. But I wasn't quite sure. I was hoping you could just update the cost, but I'm not quite sure about the analysis. But
well, we actually met last week. We had the Community Solutions team and
Regional
Solutions team, and DEQ is here, and the old EL gang. And we talked about it, and so they're going to hunt this technical assistance grant. I think at the end of the day, we may come out on that. So,
oh, good.
I think they can take some of what you've done here and then take those, and then they probably will be going out for an update and or what needs to be done. So that this year we'll have those numbers.
Okay.
And then next year we then can move it to the next step.
Is DEQ going to drive the study or is the city?
Right now, we're all sitting in the second row.
Yeah.
None of us want to drive the bus. We all want on the bus.
You can get.
We just don't want to drive it.
So I would highly encourage you to drive.
I want you to know we were in the back of the bus until.
Yeah,
we were going to sneak out the back, open up the door, and the bus stop. We've moved up the front.
The only reason I encourage you to drive the bus, so to speak, is then you can throw people under it and drive.
Well, that's true. We may need two steering wheels.
The only reason I say that is we don't have any DEQ folks here, but you are taping this.
Yeah.
But you know, they tend to make things as hard and difficult as possible. And I don't mean they do that on purpose. They have to follow procedure. It's a lot easier for you to drive the ship.
We are going to end up driving it. We want them to fund it. The only reason I like them driving is they don't like to pay for it, or more of it.
You can definitely get a $20,000 technical assistance grant from the Infrastructure Finance Authority, which is the Oregon Business Development Department,
right,
for this study. And I don't know that it would take too much more than that, because we've already done the lift station part, and this has a fair amount of analysis in it for how to serve cable. So you could glean.
See, this is my concern, and I won't be able to say it well because it haven't analyzed. Is that you just said, Brad, and say 400? We have to build this system out here. We're going to build this. I'm talking the mains and everything for this 400 to 500 EDUs. Because you're right.
Yeah.
That's what you have to figure, because you don't know where it's all going to go. But I only got 150 paying EDUs out there right now.
Yeah.
And I then have to burden the rest of the community to cover for the cost unless we get a more higher level grant. But if it's
right,
just low interest loans, my concern is it's not like adding a 400 EDUs with 150 paying EDUs in a 2,000 EDU system. We have 600 sewer accounts. This is like adding 40%.
Right.
It's a huge number.
It is.
So what happens is either I got to charge a guy at Kegel $50 a month because he's helping pay, because that's fair, or I charge them at Kegel $40.
And put the 10 on the rest of
it. She picks up the other 10. That's one of my concerns. This is so, and you got to build the pipes for the full 400 EDUs. But I don't have 400 payers out there. I got 100, 150.
What do you do about the people that are going to be coming in? How do they pay?
They all pay. They all pay their SDC.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking the monthly.
Yeah. Okay.
We have a loan. We have debt service.
I see.
And I got to make that payment every month. And so that's where I got to push the DEQ to say we need a higher level of grant that lowers that cost to make this all work.
And that's where the study also needs to look at not only that and how to fund it, something that's feasible, because you can't overburden the people unnecessarily. The second aspect of this is, what's this doing to your lagoons and irrigation area? And that you got to look at that, because that's a significant amount of users added to the system. And last thing you want to do is do a $2.5 or $3 million project, get everybody on and go, oh crap, our lagoons are overloaded. It's just good to look at the whole thing and make sure you didn't step in it.
Definitely.
So to speak. But a study needs to be done.
And then, of course, if you have that little area that's outside the city limits, the DEQ is going to be more involved, because that's really, they have to drive that.
Yep.
So anyway, when you hear a while back he was going over this with us, and I had this idea that of not having to replace that line is big to me.
Oh yeah, that was exciting, because man, you hate to replace a perfectly good pipe. That's crazy. The other thing we did, real quick, taking up a lot of your time.
Oh, you're the only thing on the agenda. Oh. We're done in 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. So I'll try to stretch it out.
No.
We did overall water and sewer system maps as part of this work, and basically what we did, Scott had maps from all these different people. He didn't have an overall system map, so
it was more than enough to fill the trunk of his car.
Yeah, drove home with the light. I kept getting flipped with the brights. We took a lot of maps home. But what we did is laid it all out on one big map and then broke it out into sheets. I have examples if you'd like to see it, but basically what the city now has, and Scott's reviewing them, he's going through and checking hydrants and valves, because these maps have every hydrant, every valve, all of the sewer system cleanouts. But now he has system-wide maps, so he can not have to rely on all these different piles of maps. And once this is all done, then so I've had cities laminate these for their trucks or whatever they want to do, but we've got it all in a GIS type format, so it can be overlaid with everything else and have one system map. So that work coupled with the water model at the industrial park kind of gets you set up for future evaluations and things of that nature, setting the framework for getting yourself set up.
And whenever I finish getting them all marked up so we have a final copy, you're going to make us a big map.
Yeah, and hang on the wall. And
so it'll be like that aerial there with the, all of the water and sewer on it.
I'm sure you could put that up online.
Yeah, that'd be way cool.
Yeah. So if you want to look at these, they're sitting here and it just shows the valves and hydrants and piping, pipe size, with an aerial underneath it, water and sewer.
Wonderful.
So, and that was all I had.
You done good.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Save this couple millions.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah, that definitely is. That's a good deal. So, any questions you have with us? I appreciate your time.
I just wish somebody could throttle the DEQ down.
That's one of the reasons I think it'd be neat if you drove the ship, because then you're in control of.
Well, and you're right. No, you know, they want to plan on the worst case scenario as to what is going on out there. They kind of implied that at our last meeting, and I guess it's a CYA for them.
Yeah.
They're also bureaucrats.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They don't necessarily work in our world. You know, I mean.
Right.
They're working their own.
They don't have common sense.
Eric Nagg, the gentleman that came out here, though, I've worked with him a lot over the years, and he's you know, pretty reasonable. Keep in mind they're bound by what's pressure they're having on Eric too. But,
right.
But
yeah, I mean, you know, we all pick on, you know, and I know part of it's all what we all do. It's you know, we didn't have ODOT to pick on.
We're supposed to be.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah. We all actually agree. I mean, you got that, the density of Kegel in that area, mm-hmm. It needs to be on sewer, and yes. It's the right thing to do. So yeah, DEQ is the monster that maybe forces the discussion, but your heart, your gut, your brain tells you it's what we need to do. Does it mean it's tomorrow or the next day? But you know, I think you all know that, and I think you all even agree with that, but you know, somebody had to kind of force the discussion.
Yeah, but it's not like DEQ volunteered to do all this anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, they got caught by Deschutes County when that whole thing happened way back when. And who, you know, all of South County.
Yeah, and we did have the
fighting ever since.
When the Solutions team was here last week, we drove Kegel subdivision, so we actually had, and the new region, first the governor's one that runs all these Solutions teams are all over Reagan, and they have areas you have up in the ground.
Yeah.
And so they have these, and the Annette, who's actually in charge now for the entire state of Oregon, for all of them, she's the head one, works in the governor's office at the Capitol. She was here, so, and she was in my pickup with me, and we, you know, we drove her out there, and she got out of the car right out there on Kegel Road in the gravel, and so she's seen it. She's went down Skidmore Road, and she's seen what it all is and isn't. And so, you know, we had the DEQ here, we had the finance people who help finance this stuff, so, you know, it's behind the scenes, it's moving along, and you know, trying to figure out what's the next steps.
I think, you know, as far as our priority list goes, that lift station is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what we can do, where we get the money from. I recommend it to the city council. Find out where the money comes from and get that done first. Then we look at the pipe. Then we look at the water pipe out there, the industrial section.
Part of it is SDC. We get SDC. See, the Scott, one thing you know that did you hear last week when the county was here? We had city county, we had a lot of busy stuff last week. The county commission was all here and their whole crew. when they said they paid to the districts $1 million, what they said is at the meeting last week that that whole area, basically the new neighborhood,
right.
Crescent Creek, clear up to Burgess. So all of this, they have calculated the number of EDUs and the capacity somehow, and they gave $1 million, call it an SDC, that was paid to the districts. Because I said, well, what happens about the lagoons and, you know, and all that down the road? They said, we've prepaid. Somebody calculated. So what they say is that that money, is that true? And is in that, no, see, we have a couple $1 million in our, you know, and we have reserves. And that money all came from somewhere, and I think $1 million of it came from the county. So, I mean, we can go out and pay $200,000 to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But is that fact what did happen?
They paid, the new, when you've been out at the plant, there's the three small lagoons and the large 14-acre, the new lagoon. You can see it's the brighter green-colored one there.
Okay.
Deschutes County bought that.
Okay.
Probably some district SDC money went into that. But that was where Deschutes County's money went, was that and the aeration that went in the lagoons. They were not aerated lagoons before that. And then I never saw the agreement. I don't know if we even have a written agreement. There has to be, but I never saw it with Deschutes County. But as I recall, it was the first 300 EDUs in the new neighborhood. They'd collect the SDC payment and keep it. And that was, but I, you know, they do charge a little interest, so I don't know if that 300 has turned to 400 now.
But they built that, in your mind, I guess, is that big enough for, if they truly have built it pretty big?
Oh, absolutely.
Much are we at capacity? What?
We're not quite half of capacity right now.
But the question I'd have real quick is, if they built that for this, what happens if you use it for this?
Well, you know, when you get into the, to the master plan and all that cost, or all, everything it talks about is new irrigation site, that, you know, east of us. And so if we add more EDUs than, or if we add in Kegel, it pushes up that timeline and needing to move that out there. And so really, I think our lagoons could handle more flows. It's our disposal area that would be limited.
Which we're going to have tons of room for that.
Yeah.
Potentially.
So. Does that mean we don't have to move right away?
Well, the lagoons weren't going to move.
The lagoons weren't.
What would the big round pivot is going to go east? Just
Is that still going to? We've got quite a ways, actually.
Yeah, 740 acres.
Yeah. And that's where you folks were interested in a wetland at one time, or considering one.
Wetland evaporation ponds would be the...
Those are slick.
That would be the easiest.
Just send it out there
and forget
and not irrigate.
Not irrigate.
Yeah, but your cost for evaporation ponds is a bunch.
They usually get real expensive, but if you can get it done with a big enough surface area, there's no easier way. No discharge, sampling gets limited. It becomes pretty simple. You're on a WPCF permit now, which is a water pollution control facility permit, because you don't discharge. It's irrigated at agronomic rates. A wetland would change that permit, so you probably not want to go that route, but an evaporated pond would be the same permit as this. It'd be pretty slick.
What about the solids? Where are they going?
The solids up in the first cells, treatment and settling occurs here.
Okay.
The evaporated pond is just, it's your treated, no treatment happens there. That's all disposal.
So the solids you end up hauling off periodically?
Yeah, to give an example, I live in Cove. Do you know where Cove is across from LeGrand?
Oh, yeah.
About 600 people. They installed their lagoons in 1981, and they're just getting to the point where they need to deal with their sludge. So that's...
You dig it out?
35 years ago. Yeah, basically you drain the cell down. There's several ways, but you can drain the cell down and then take it out with, kind of as a liquid, or you can let it dry out and take it out as a solid with a bobcat or some of that nature. There's a couple different ways.
And you go spread that?
Yep. Yeah, you do a biosolids management plan, find a site that DEQ is okay with, usually an agricultural type site for a non-human consumptive crop, and then you go apply it, man, apply it. But it's not something that typically has to happen for long periods of time. Now, North Powder, as an example, they allowed the McGinn Brothers cow hauling truck operation to wash out their trucks, and they filled their lagoons up with cow manure and ended up having to get rid of their solids awfully quick, but that's a different situation. It takes a long time to fill your lagoons up with solids.
I worked with the Eugene Springfield sewer district back in the late 80s, and I think they're still well under capacity with that project. That was really nice the way that turned out.
Yeah. Yeah, so not very often you have to back or have to clean your solids up. Pretty rare.
Forest Grove has a really good one down there.
Do they?
That they turned into wetlands and all works.
The ones that we've done,
bunch of lagoons.
We did LeGrand's, they're Ladmar's, Athena we've done, and Primeville's we've designed, but they're trying to get it funded. So there's a few around. DEQ is getting more stringent on permitting them. But it's always good to avoid, keep yourself in the simplest permit you can. That just makes your life easier and you're way less susceptible to future regulations. Evaporating pond, can't think of any regulation that's gonna come up and hurt you there, but there's probably something, but pretty safe.
Well, that's
it. Well, thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.
Yes.
Good meeting all of you.
All these different reports, all the maps, so we can forward them out to someone at times, some sort of system, and then also we have big ones.
You've already got all these. Scott's marking them.
I'm marking them.
Oh, those aren't done yet.
No, they're not done.
Everything else
Rick,
is done.
Yes. Do you want us to make a motion that we would like to have the city council look at alternative two?
Well, I think you could just, you wanted a motion that you're supportive of moving forward on improvements of Lydia, if it makes sense. I guess, you know, these kinds of other things we don't know yet.
Yeah.
In other words, I get the impression, obviously, you like the idea of doing what here, not just.
Yeah.
Get rid of the grinder pumps, not do the three-phase grinder pumps and all that. Is that?
We can always do that later.
Yeah.
Well, does number two include the three-phase or not?
No, but it gets all the base.
How much more would it cost for the three-phase?
Just about another 100,000 because it was 200 to 300. But keep in mind, you may not even need that three-phase for 20 years.
Oh, remember, he figured splitting the lots in half in cable. Yeah. If we don't ever do that, that's another 100 EDUs you don't have to worry about.
As long as we don't allow them to do that.
Right.
That's up to the city council and the planning commission.
Well, the whole thing is, do we put patches on the existing system or do we repair it permanently right the first time?
Yeah.
I think for a couple hundred thousand, you could get that thing set up and be good for 20 to 30 years.
I think that's
the whole thing. Or do we just keep patching what we got?
No.
So my motion would be to recommend to the city council that we go ahead and
support
implement number two.
Anybody
have a second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent.
And thank you, Scott, for all the information you provided. It's really interesting.
What are you going to do with all your spare time when you don't have to rebuild it?
Well, find another project.
I don't know.
Somebody will think of something.
Right. We'll study something else.
Work always expands to fill the time.
You want to do.
No, we have to have your report.
Oh, I
water sewer expansion discussion. Rick?
We just kind of were talking about that. That's
other issues? Concerns? Yes.
Where are we with Vic Russell making the sidewalk repairs out off of Finley Butte that they damaged with the snowplow?
We haven't talked to him in a while.
Don't you think we ought to
get
it about time?
Yeah, no, I thought it the other day, but no, we have not.
He did agree to make those repairs, right?
Yes, he did.
Okay, well, I was strongly urged that you contact him and get him done, because I'm getting a lot of flack from them out there.
Yeah.
You know when it's going to be fixed.
Yeah, I mean, That's fair.
Owners are Matt Court.
Thank you.
Any public comments? Corey, it's good to have you on board.
Thank you.
I move that we adjourn.
Well, we've got staff.
No, I just said we'll keep moving, you know, watch this sidewalk project here and, you know, the other things the county is starting to engineer forward on the drainage problem down at Third and Huntington, or Third, Second Huntington, all that. They actually seem to be there expanding that a little. They're going to do a good job there, I think. So more than just the corners, they may go down a little way, so we'll kind of take care of some of that.
That gets pretty bad in the wintertime.
Yeah, well, when this is done, there's a big old pipe going to head to that marsh.
Good.
So, I guess that's, you know, all right now.
Committee members, anything? Is there a motion to adjourn?
We did have mosquito spraying last week on Wednesday. You had your mosquitoes started, so they sprayed those on Wednesday. They'll be out every Wednesday. And he's got a GPS, so actually when he emails us the map, you see every road he goes down, so if someone says he missed my street, we actually can say, well.
Is Evergreen going to be on that?
Who?
Evergreen.
Evergreen?
Yeah, right off of Huntington. We going to see somebody out there this year? Before we all get malaria? And that whole outfit dies and you can just take it over, I guess.
Yeah, well, is it a city or county road?
It's on a private road.
New private road.
See? I got it.
When's he going to start on that?
Ken, you got a box next to you for sale?
Every Wednesday, huh?
I got one, I'll sell you.
And Ken is on. I think you saw him.
Yes, I saw him last Wednesday. They came out and it makes a, I'm telling you, we were able to move out on our deck and use the deck.
Was it almost midnight when he sprayed?
No, it was about 7, somewhere around 7 o'clock. Yeah.
Well, because on the map he said that he started at like 11:30 at night.
Oh, his time's off.
Yeah, his time. My goodness, where are you spraying?
Maybe that's Eastern time.
I'm guessing.
It was between 6 and 7:30.
They're going to do it usually between there and dawn, dark, because that's when they're active.
Where?
At midnight they're sleeping.
I'm sorry, we already called it German.
No.
What is going to happen with that chunk from Evergreen out to Burgess, the 39 owners out there? I mean, is the city just going to continue to ignore it, or what?
If it's a public, well, yes.
We're paying city taxes. We don't get any city services.
Well,
you know,
it's a public. I'm assuming again. I don't have. It's a public usage road. It is not a city street, and it's not a county road.
We maintain it, we grade it, we do everything to it, but there's...
That's correct.
Why did you apply to come into this, dedicate those roads to the city at that point? With a petition?
Well, the city, well it's more to mark, we wouldn't accept them.
You wouldn't accept
them?
Standard. No. I mean...
You do.
I mean, they're everywhere. It's not just Evergreen, they're everywhere.
I understand.
And it would break the whole system. And, you know, but where I live, I mean, I'm not on a city street, and I have to plow it, and I gravel and grade it, and, you know, that's, but I bought there, I knew that. I mean, it's not suddenly someone else's problem.
But are you paying city taxes where you live?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because we maintain city streets. The city maintains city streets. There's all kinds of people that go up and then have four or five easements and people live off of it and everyone gets to drive on it. They plow, but they were never public roads. They were never built. See, when you go to Huntington Meadows or Crescent Creek, they had to build, you know, this much of a base, this much asphalt. They had to meet a standard. The road has to be this wide. These things are just whatever people did. And they were never, they have no standard, they were never built to a standard. And so you can't just kind of go run a grader out somewhere and then turn it over to the rest of the taxpayers. Because that's kind of what, I mean, this debate goes on everywhere.
If they were to come to you, the city, and get the standards and bring those roads up to standards, then what?
You would discuss it, yes.
There you go.
The only problem is, I've been on that, but where he is, in order to get that road up to standard, you take the property. That's how narrow it is.
Yeah.
Well, there's no dedicated roadway. When you look at a tax lot map.
There are.
I have a map. I bought the property before this was a city. And I have a legal description. Can't find any lines anywhere, but that's, you know, we joked about it. Just called it an Alpine acre, you know, but that's, this thing's flex out there. When, I forget the name of the church now, had that, or had a surveyor come out and look at it, I ended up losing a fair chunk of the side that goes to Evergreen, but then I picked up my neighbor's back half of his shop and my other neighbor's half of his living room. So, you know, there was some discussion about that. We decided not to go that way. So,
it was okay as it was.
Rick, I think it becomes a nightmare.
We still have a taxation without representation is the point that we're looking at.
Well, yeah, representation on Huntington. So the front of your place is taken care of.
Yeah, the only thing that Huntington does for me is not let me out of my driveway with all the traffic. I want a traffic light on my driveway.
How wide is your street? Do you have any idea? How wide is your road? 12 feet?
Oh, yeah, at least that.
12 feet?
More than that.
Two cars can go by?
Yeah.
If you brought that road up to standard, something that the city would expect, everybody on the street on both sides are going to lose about 10 feet off the front of their property. Yeah. Whether those 35 people are going to be willing to do that. Now, over on my street, I live right up from you on Pine Drive. I lost about 8 feet of my frontage. And that was because they wouldn't go on the east side because of the telephone pole. So they had to take it off on the west side. Well, I live on the west side, so I lost a whole bunch. And all the trees got cut down. And that same thing will happen to you.
I'd be happy to give up some of my ground, but I'm one of the few.
Well,
so if you just went 1 acre deep on that road,
well,
that'd be fine.
If you supply clothes for everybody.
You know, to get myself out of trouble for telling you no, I could say, you know, we might seriously look at that. There's a good chance if you bring me the majority of the owners agreeing with a plan, a payment schedule of how you'll bring it up, I recommend to the council that we just might seriously look at that.
Yeah.
And I figure I'm safe. You will never reach agreement with your neighbors.
You are right, Rick.
You know,
that I can guarantee.
This isn't working out, is it, Wayne?
another aspect
I have to bring it up
that Wayne alluded to. I have some property out in Lechner Estates, and the boundaries are not where they're supposed to be, and so he's got the same problem.
Yep.
So when you look at your lines and where your fences and everything are, he said that he took somebody's back half of their building. Well, that is a overlay of the problems that area would be, just like it is that I deal with out where I have that,
yep,
have my property.
I just say, they where I live off of Madison, they took 15 feet of my back, my east part of the property, because the lines weren't right.
And the guy
that bought the property behind me, he had it resurveyed.
I lost my well.
Yeah.
I mean, when it moved down,
yeah,
and the county's still playing around with it, so.
Oh yeah. It, a lot of those gonna, plot
I'm going to give somebody a good price and sell it. That's what I'm going to do.
I just ignore the stuff the county sends.
Yeah, that's an issue all over.
It is something that just is a. You talk about these grinders. I mean, that's what goes on there all the time. It just keeps grinding and it's not going anyplace.
Yeah, I know what street you're on, but now.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Yep, thank you very much.
Once again, no paper.
I'm thinking about
I've been down there.